Hi everyone and welcome to episode 9 of season 2 of JMC Jams. We're rolling along and we're getting closer to summer and it's nearly the end of the semester. So catching up as we go along. We have Sandy Dapia with us today, who is, you're one of our students, right?
Mm.
Okay, just making doubly sure.
Yeah.
That you're one of our majors and not just a minor. Okay, so that's good. You're full on JMC.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so we got Sandy on today because Sandy is actually like, you know, sometimes I get to find out what students do, like kind of randomly, and it just always amazes me. So Sandy actually knocked on my door a few weeks ago and said, oh, you know, I'm so-and-so, and here's Eastside San Jose, which is a magazine that you founded, right? You were one of the co-founders for that.
So it was actually founded by Rosana Alvarez, who is also in the Chicanx department here at San Jose State, and then a gentleman who is a small business owner. His name is Omar Rodriguez. I am the current managing editor, and I've been with them for about 3 years, just soaking in stories right. And putting it together.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool deal. You know, I mean, actually, I read the magazine and yeah, it's really good. It gives a really great lots of view of life within the east side of San Jose in terms of culture and I guess that's of, you know, politics to a point as well. There's a whole load of information on there which is fascinating, and I think there's some poetry also. Mm-hmm. There's a whole host of different things in there to kind of keep the interest going, and you're also kind of aligned with what's the marketing group again?
Cultura Marketing.
Cultura Marketing, of course. Yeah, who I do follow on Instagram. I think I met them last of once. It's through a content magazine event or something along those lines. So again, it's like, so that really brings me around to the fact that like, so there's a lot of like, so really cool cultural stuff that happens in San Jose, and you can sometimes miss it, right?
Absolutely. I think because we are in the Bay Area, it's very easy to get distracted by the big cities. You got San Francisco on one side, you have Oakland on the other side, and then there's that weird argument where like San Jose isn't part of the Bay, and you're like, no, what are you talking about? Silicon Valley is our neighbor. We're in the heart of Silicon Valley in a sense. But there's so much culture here that drives Silicon Valley. We've got people in the east side who are trimming the hedges, cleaning the offices, or even just setting up the future generation to be in these positions. And within that culture, you have the Vietnamese community, the Cambodian community, Punjabi community, and a really large presence of the Hispanic community. So what we take with Eastside Magazine is that we take the community's stories. They submit their stories, whether they're personal narratives or experiences or even just wisdoms or even talking themselves up, and I love it. We go ahead and take in the poetry as well, art and photography, and we just come together and publicate it bilingually specifically, so that way we can reach that broader audience.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I really loved about it, was the fact that it is bilingual, and so sitting side by side. Mm-hmm. And it's not just kind of, it's properly bilingual. And what I mean by that is that sometimes we see things which are translated, but it's a bad Google Translate effort, right? This is actually less of it's sympathetic to both languages. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't pay lip service. It is in Spanish and it is in English, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of the structure is there.
Yes, I actually have a beautiful story to share, or in the sense of I was sitting next to, like, I think it was just a program by Latina Coalition and had a mother there. And they were sharing with me how they were a fan of the magazine because she speaks Spanish and her children were born on this side of the border, so they speak more predominant English. And while her oldest is more fluent bilingually, her youngest is learning how to speak and write in Spanish. So they're able to sit down together and actually help the mother learning English, just reading it, sounding it out. And the little boy was able to learn Spanish, follow along in Spanish, and also kind of get that experience.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. Especially when you've got multi-generational families as well, which is very much a part of Hispanic culture. And just kind of sort of skipping over quickly to that, you know, and we'll go backwards and forwards because then also that's on the back of that magazine, then recently you got in touch with, no, not on the back of it, I mean like literally on the back of having shown me the magazine.
Yeah.
You also talked to us about the Somos Chicanas anthology. that you were involved in, and so I saw the promotion for that, because there's an event mm-hmm. that accompanies the book. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, the not only is there so much going on, but actually you seem to be the catalyst in JMC for all of this stuff. So I thought, come on to JAM, tell us a bit about it, let's speak cultura, you know? So tell us something about Somos Chicanas, what's all that about, what's your role in it, and what's happening here in San Jose.
Yeah, so Somos Chicanas is a publication that was put together by a small publisher that is Chicana-owned called Rite of Roses. I guess my contribution is to, it is the first publication I am, other than magazine, actually a part of that shares my personal story as a previous farm worker. And I guess just the nuance on how I had to navigate growing up in Oregon, where I wasn't necessarily reflected in my peers. I was one of two in my entire high school who spoke Spanish. So it very much limited my options of like who I could reach out for mentorships, but at the same time, what I could be. I have a firm belief that you can't really necessarily be what you can't see. So it navigates just through being aware of my family as farm workers and that community and the sacrifice that comes through that, and then further skipping to moving to Central Valley, seeing everybody reflected like myself, but then understanding or coming to grips with the privilege that I had, being able to really navigate through school, but also understand that education was my pathway to a better life, not just for myself, but also for my family. And that entailed leaving Central Valley, coming to San Jose State, and really, I should say in Spanish, poniéndome las pilas, which is getting my stuff together aligned, right? So that my contribution reflects all that, but there is a peripheral of poetry and stories, wisdom, all gathered from some awesome Chicanas across the country and even internationally, that is almost like soup for the soul. It is absolutely holistic, and it's almost like that shoulder you can lean on when mm-hmm. you're going through something, or when you just need a good read at the end of the night.
Yeah, and I mean, I just love the fact that it's kind of coming from that tradition of storytelling that is typical of many cultures, but you know, you do experience within like the Spanish diaspora, you know, and with Hispanic culture mm-hmm. generally as well, the family traditions, you know, and the roles within the family and so on, which are kind of reflective across all of our different Spanish speaking, cultures, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
And I really love the fact that I said, you know, that you're reflecting on your upbringing there and how it kind of it makes you who you are. Tell us something about some of the other stories which are in here as well.
Yeah, you have beautiful poetry that fights a lot of the stereotypes that they go through, right? Whether you are your big hoop earrings, your lipstick, how you present yourself, you know, that armor we like to put on to be more public facing, to stories about other people's upbringings, the jobs they had to take in East LA and their parents, and forgetting family, but also remembering family. And also, how do you navigate the duality of being Mexican, maybe Honduran, maybe Venezuelan, but also being on this side of the border, and the way you have to present yourself isn't necessarily always going to be received with grace, but more with criticism. So it really dives into like, hey, we are here in our fullest form, but at the same time, you can still be who you want to be, mm-hmm. and there will be a community there for you.
Yeah, and it's super timely. The moment in history that we're living in right now, our identities are, of course, never been more important. And there are some events, aren't there, that accompany the publishing of this book?
Yeah, so the publisher itself, Rite of Roses, is going around the country. They were just in D.C. Highlighting and promoting the book, but they're coming to San Jose this Thursday at the MLK Library. There's a student-facing event from 1:30 to 3, and then there's a community event from 6 to about 8.
Yeah.
And then that way we'll be having a reading and a panel discussing just everything that we kind of have to carry as Chicanas, but at the same time that we make space for the mm-hmm. community.
Okay, that's just so cool, you know, to hear that this is all coming along. But anybody would think, really, you know, it's like, so, well, the amount of stuff that you do, right, you can't surely be an undergraduate student.
I'm about to graduate soon.
You're about to, so you're at the final stages.
Absolutely.
And you're doing all of this as well?
Yes. So a very interesting story there. I had went to school from 2015 to 2019, and believing everything was set, walked on stage in the winter of 2019. Unfortunately, as you know, in 2020, the pandemic unrolled. So there is a few things that my degree required for me to really obtain it. And it took a lot of just kind of really accepting that it wasn't fully complete, and a lot of realizing you have to finish what you started. But at the same time, this to me was home. I got to really share and carve out what storytelling was to me from a journalistic standpoint, but also from the public relations standpoint of like cultivating relationships, telling those stories, making space, mm-hmm. building a longer table. So once I was in a position where I had a stable job, which was the Eastside Magazine, I was actually able to kind of go back and invest in myself to complete this degree, which makes me super happy because my intention with it is not only to be somebody that the journalism department can depend on or like a point of resource, but at the same time, also open these avenues for other Latinx or ethnic journalists and curious storytellers that are like, what can I do with this degree? And the example's right here. You can tell your stories, or you can write for a magazine, or you can make an imagination of what you want it to be, a podcast, a video. You can be as creative as you want to be as long as you lean into it. So I'm super excited to actually finally be graduating, but at the same time, I will be returning in the fall for my master's degree in Chicanx Studies.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good to hear. And yeah, sometimes things don't just happen in the order we expect them to. There's always something that comes in and kind of messes things up, but perseverance, of course, has been key for you, right?
Absolutely. And I feel like it's key for everybody at a certain point, right? You're going to be presented with life at every corner, whether it's financially or family or even personally in relationships. But it's really how you frame the opportunity that makes a world of a difference. From being from the middle of nowhere, Oregon, to coming to Silicon Valley, to me, it doesn't feel like an accomplishment, but to the people I talk to, it's kind of like, wow, how did you do that? I shrug, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I got my stuff together, and I had an idea of what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. and I really pushed for it.
That's great. And I know that you've been, when you've been in JMC this year, you've seen some developments. You've seen our Spanish language minor come on stream. Baby steps that we're taking right now, but it'll be awesome to see how that evolves over time. What do you think about having that kind of provision within our journalism program right now?
You know, when I was here previously, I didn't necessarily acknowledge or even notice that it was missing, but now that it is here, I think it's about time. You guys are in such a beautiful location with like the Vietnamese community, the Spanish community, and so many multi-language speakers that it's almost a given. And then instead of having to cultivate someone coming from a different country to tell the stories of our communities, it's beautiful to see that our own students are getting that opportunity, refining their language, refining their craft in a multitude of ways. That way they can not only just reach the English-speaking community, but also be here presently in the Spanish-speaking community, which makes me reflect on in our upcoming issue of the Eastside Magazine, I was investigating the whole Franklin McKinley school closures. And I went to Dole Elementary, and there was your news broadcasters, NBC, and a couple others, but they were more English speakers. Whereas, because I'm bilingual, I can take advantage of talking to the parents, I can take advantage of talking to students. And even if I got their permission, like, hey, we don't have to use your name if you're not comfortable with that, but I can speak to you in your native tongue, so it already relaxes them. And I think that's something we can all lean into, whether you are an actual native speaker or maybe you're curious about another language. Once you learn that other language, it opens up a world of possibilities for you, not just in journalism and public relations and communications and globally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, language is just a wonderful gift to have, or a skill to develop, rather.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, some people find it easier than others, but ultimately, it's something that we can all get our heads around. And it's not, there's no excuse, really, sometimes. So I think I've just heard a shout from the studio room there. I think we're up to time, but I just want to finish with a couple of little things. I mean, you'd think, like, so speaking about the storytelling and the poetry and the magazine publishing and so on, people would think, definitely Sandy is a journalism major. But you're not, though, are you?
No, I am a public relations major. And for one key difference, I love writing, and I know writing has been the tool that I've used to open doors. However, there's there's different skills that you gain from public relations. And a lot of it, and which I love, is the relationship building. Mm-hmm. I love to be able to be a resource point, not only for faculty and students, but also for the community that I'm always talking to. And those skills have also been keys for me to open doors, because there's nothing like reaching back to your old high school professors and being like, hey, I do this, how can I be of assistance to you? And that continues to propel how important relationships are to me.
Yeah. And I mean, to that point, you know, when you're majoring in public relations or in journalism or in advertising here in JMC, you need to be so open to all of those other skill bases, right? All of those other disciplines, because they're going to make you a much stronger practitioner. And I think it's something that we nurture here. Mm-hmm. So many advertising majors who work in the magazines on campus, and equally journalism students who work in the ad agency. It's kind of nice to see how that kind of unrolls and develops. So absolutely. I have so many questions for you, Sandy, and I'm conscious of the time, and also of the fact that actually you're going to graduate now. So I hope, but because you're coming back and you're going to be in Chicano Studies for sure, but don't forget that JMC is your home.
Absolutely.
And come back and recruit students for Eastside Magazine, because I'm sure there's a few who will likely take you up on an offer.
Absolutely.
To intern for them at the very least, right?
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. Good luck with the book. I hope it kind of like really exposes your story, I guess, to a wider audience. And good luck with everything moving forward. Thank you for coming along.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so that wraps up JMC Jams this week. I think we've had a two-week gap. Next week, we're going to be talking to the Creative Jam winners. At least I'm hoping we will. We thought we were going to do it this week, but we didn't. We've had to shift things around. But that's just the nature of the beast. So join us again for the next episode, which is going to begin closing down season two as we head into the summer and look forward to the fall. So I'll speak to you all soon. Thank you.